So today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Brajesh Chandra Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Ramakatha today. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time on this call today. So before I hand over the call to you, please, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a small introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, you can please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Brajesh Chandra Prabhuji graduated with a degree in chemical engineering from ITT Bombay. Prabhuji took initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in the year 2001. In the year 2003, Brajesh Chandra Prabhuji joined Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir in Chaupati as a full-time monk. He assists in various temple services, including giving lovely classes full of clear explanations of Shastra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, welcome to the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the short introduction. Prabhuji, we are really fortunate to hear from you today on the topic of Ramakatha. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas. I am very, very grateful for this opportunity that I am having to speak about Sri Ram. Just on the eve of Ramanami, so I'm very grateful to all the devotees. So, since tomorrow is Ramanami, so we thought we will discuss a little bit about Sri Ram. So I'll begin with chanting the invocation prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschapyadeshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, how much time is allotted? How many minutes am I supposed to speak?
1 hour, 1 hour you can, and then if devotees have questions, they can ask.
Thank you very much for inviting me to speak on Sri Ram. Of course, many of us, those who are from India, have heard Ram Katha, and it's very popular in India. You hear from your grandmothers, from your grandparents, and parents would tell these stories and different Ram Leelas, or the enactment of the pastimes of Lord Ram, have been going on in India for ages now, as we know. And especially in India, whenever Ram Katha is recited, it is believed that Sri Hanuman Ji is there wherever Ram Katha is being recited. I'll just begin with a little story of Sri Hanuman Ji, and then we will talk about a little about Sri Ram's journey. It's befitting to speak about the servant of the Lord first before we go into, of course, Hanuman Ji's katha is, it cannot be disconnected to Ram Katha. So this is after the, you all know the basic storyline. So after the killing of, let's say, deliverance of Ravan, when Lord Ram Mother Sita, and they were back to Ayodhya. They came on the Pushpak Viman, the flower plane, which was given by our Vibhishanji. So they reached there, and on the way, the monkey soldiers also joined in, and their wives also joined in. And they had a wonderful gathering, wonderful party there organized by Lord Ram for all the monkeys who served him. And finally, when the time was that they had to go back to their Kishkinda, so then Lord Ram, this is one of the beautiful Lok Kathas, which is very popular. And so they organized a farewell party, or sort of a felicitation, like we have in the temples after the marathon, and this devotee did so many books, and this devotee did this service, and we have various felicitation programs. So this was one of those felicitation programs was organized here. All the devotees, all the main personalities of Sri Ayodhya were assembled in the big sabhagra, a huge sabhagra was there. All the cabinet ministers, the other ministers, and all the important individuals of Ayodhya were invited, and Lord Ram and Mother Sita were sitting, and they were personally introducing. Of course, they gave gifts to all, and Lord Ram did express, this is just a token, what can we offer to such an amazing, wonderful assistance you did to me in finding Mother Sita. So this is just a token of gratitude that we are expressing and giving you certain small gifts. So please accept them. And with those words, the whole ceremony was happening, and one soldier would come, one monkey would come, and Lord Ram would personally speak about that and offer them a gift. And at the end of it, the one who is the most important contribution or the role in Sri Ram's victory over Hanumanji was called on the stage. And Hanumanji, very humble, very, very humble, he bowed his hand, walked onto the stage, onto the podium where his name was announced, and Lord Ram was personally glorifying Hanumanji's contribution, and Mother Sita also wanted to share about Hanumanji's glory. So she also spoke. So Hanumanji was the common factor between the two of them. Even Mother Sita knew about Hanumanji and how actually Hanumanji prevented Mother Sita from committing suicide. She was missing Ram and tormented by Ravanas and all those Rakshasas in Ashok Vatika. Hanumanji just appeared at the right time and chanted Sri Ram Katha. And that's what Mother Sita remembered, and she was recounting how Hanumanji actually saved. And at one point, that time when Mother Sita was recounting, she remembered one incident, because Hanumanji appeared as a tiny monkey, and later on, while he was destroying the Ravana's people in the Ashok Vatika, he appeared as a huge monkey. So that time, Mother Sita actually asked him to Hanumanji, "Hey, Baba, you were very small when you were in the tree, and now you're such a huge. So what is your actual size? You tell me. You keep changing size, but what is your actual size?" Hanumanji very politely just folded his hands. He said, "Actually speaking, Mother, I am a very small person. But for service of Lord Ram, I can become as big as is needed for that." So that was Hanumanji's move. And even in Lanka, he did mention to Ravana when he was there tied up, he mentioned that all the others, the monkeys in Ram's army, either they are equal to me or better than me. So that was Hanumanji's always mood of great humility, Herculean task, always eager to serve. That is the hallmark of Sri Hanumanji. Anytime service, ATM, anytime ready to serve, anytime ready to serve. That was his mood of Sri Hanumanji. And so then Mother Sita was glorifying, Lord Ram was glorifying. And at that time, Mother Sita was so touched, she personally took out her necklace from her chest and gave it to Sri Hanumanji. That's very beautiful, one of the rarest some say that was given after marriage by, I think, one of the mothers. And that was a very rare jewel necklace which she gave to Sri Hanumanji. And then Ramji asked Hanumanji, would you like to address something or you speak something? And so Hanumanji bowed down. He said, I just want to thank you. And I don't deserve any of this. The opportunity to serve you is the greatest wealth that I have received. That is the mood of Sri Hanumanji. That the opportunity that I got to render service to you is actually my greatest wealth. I don't need anything. And he said, I don't want to say anything. I just want to express my deepest gratitude for giving me an opportunity to serve, to be a part of that mission. I'm very, very grateful. With that, Hanumanji walked down the stage. And once he's down, he is just seeing that pearl necklace. And he's examining every pearl of it. He's seeing that. And then he starts to bite. And to the horror of all the assembled cabinet ministers and all the important people of Ayodhya, Hanumanji started to chew on every pearl and break it open and see. And some of the ministers were aghast, and they were talking among themselves loudly enough for Hanumanji, Mother Sita and Ram to hear. And they were saying, what is this audacity of this person? This is the queen has given her own personal necklace and he has no respect. Right in front of their eyes, he is breaking every pearl. What is this happening? This is insult to the king and the queen. And everyone was quiet. But Lord Ram, there's something there which Hanumanji is wanting to show up or proclaim. And then while this whole thing was getting heated up, Hanumanji, in a very great, humble voice, everyone was asking, some of the ministers were asking, we demand an explanation, Hanuman, what are you doing? This is absolutely insult. Never before in the court of Ayodhya this thing has happened, that somebody has insulted the king and the queen. And what is this you're doing? What is this happening? So Hanumanji began to explain that actually for me, anything has value that has Mother Sita or Ram in it. So I'm opening every pearl and seeing if I can see Mother Sita or Mother or Father Ram. If my Lord is not there, anything of this world devoid of Sri Ram, Sri Sita is of no use to me. It's a beautiful Siddhanta, Hanumanji is speaking. Of course, that is the tadi of Mother Sita. It's worn by Mother Sita. It's very precious. But the point here Hanumanji is making is that anything which is not connected to my Lord, in this way he's opening those pearls and seeing if I can't see Mother Sita Ram in that, I don't need any of this. And then some of the ministers were making fun. What are you saying, Hanuman? Is your body or does your heart have Mother Sita or Ram in it? And then aghast to the in front of the assembly. And of course, Lord Ram, when he was witnessing it, he had tears in his eyes. Mother Sita had tears in his eyes. And Hanumanji actually, like with his hands, he tear open his chest, and behold, to all the assembled people, they could see the chavi, the form of Ram and Sita in his chest, in his heart. So that was the devotion, and everyone was moved to tears, and those who were mocking him were ashamed to hear the glories of Sri Hanuman, to witness the glories of Sri Hanumanji. So that is Sri Hanuman, was always eager to hear the glories. And in India, at most places, wherever they do Ram Katha, where the speaker is speaking, a little higher on that is a seat reserved for Sri Hanumanji. Wherever And of course, while they were partying, while Hanumanji was going, Lord Ram embraced him. Lord Ram embraced him many times during the whole course of the events where he was assisting. And at that point, when he was leaving, Hanumanji said, "My dear Lord, you have embraced this body so many times. I just do not want to go back to the spiritual world also, because this body has been touched by you, embraced by you. I am forever grateful. And as long as this creation is there, I just want to be here and be there wherever your names are being chanted, wherever your katha is happening. I just want to be there." And Lord Ram again embraced him with tears in his eyes, and Hanumanji having tears in his eyes. And then he left from Sri Ayodhya at that time. So that is Hanumanji's mood. And he's there wherever Ram Katha is happening. I don't know how this is confusing now. Like previously there would be a physical sitting, devotees are sitting, and Ram Katha is happening. Hanumanji is there. So now Hanumanji is there where the speaker is sitting, and definitely where the audience is. So there is Hanumanji is expanding. If we have the consciousness, we can perceive the presence of Hanumanji wherever Ram Katha is happening. So he's there in every devotee's home where this katha is being relayed. If we have that bhava, we can experience the presence of Sri Hanumanji. Theoretically, we can speak, but if we have that faith and bhava, we will be able to experience the presence of Sri Hanumanji. So seeking the blessings of Sri Hanumanji to glorify his master, Sri Ram. So there are many sections of Sri Ramayana. Very, very beautiful life lessons from every episode. Such wonderful characters of the four brothers, Sri Dashrath Maharaj, Kaushalya, Kekai even, and Sumitra. It's full of so much nectar, this Ram Katha. But within the time span, what we have, we will very briefly discuss. We will walk with Sri Ram from Sri Ayodhya to Siddha Ashram, the ashram of Sri Vishwamitra Muni. So we'll take that journey. We will walk along with Sri Ram. So this is when in Ayodhya, Lord Ram is 12 years. Of course, after having born, after so much prayers, and after the Putra Kameshti Yajna, when Dashrathji was quite old. So it was a great, great happiness to Sri Dashrathji and to all the mothers to see Sri Ram grow up. It was great, cherished. Every moment, Sri Dashrathji, Sri Kaushalya, and all the others, mothers, were cherishing every moment of seeing Sri Ram grow, walk, learn different arts and skills, and get trained. And it was a great, 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 great divine pleasure to the heart of all the Ayodhya Vasis. And Sri Dashrath Maharaj had soaked in every single step of his son's childhood, the best child, and relished every moment of it, deeply, deeply attached. And Dashrath Maharaj was thinking about, now is the time we should marry Sri Ram. This is an interesting thing Dashrath is planning. And he calls on for all his ministers and assembly to discuss this topic about how we should get the best bride for Sri Ram. And just then, well, the whole discussion is opening up this discussion, Dashrath Maharaj. One of the guards, disheveled guard, his hairs are and he's in great frantic mood, in great commotion. He entered the courtroom and seeing his disheveled form and his frantic behavior, Dashrath Maharaj gets up from his throne and pacifies him and asks him, "What is the reason? Why are you so frantic and just calm down. And then, why are you here? What is in this state? And then, of course, with the difficulty, and this God just say, blurts out that there is a great sage. He's at the entrance of the assembly hall, but he's in great anger and rage, and I'm just trying to stop him. He's just about to actually burn me. And he's there on the stage. So that's why I was so afraid. I didn't know what to do. And but who is he? Dashrath Maharaj asked, and he said, he is Vishwamitra Muni. As soon as Dashrath Maharaj heard Vishwamitra Muni, he and all the assembled ministers just rose up in great respect. And Dashrath Maharaj personally ran out, came out, stepped down from his throne, walks down, and comes to greet Sri Vishwamitra Muni, who was standing at the entrance gate, radiating a stunning aura. A brilliant effulgence was emanating from his tapobal, and a grand welcome was organized by personally. Dashrath Maharaj received him and brought him inside and exchanged pleasantries, offered respects, gave him a beautiful asana to sit him, and the beautiful dialogue began. And then Vishwamitra Muni inquired from Dashrath Maharaj very pertinent questions, that how are your enemies? How is your conquest? Basically, enemies referring to the external enemies, and more importantly, the internal enemies, the kam, the krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsari, pride, lust, anger, greed, illusion. So these are the internal enemies which a king has to conquer for a sustained conquest outside and to keep his subjects happy. And then he asks, how are your duties towards God and towards the society happening? And Dashrathji elaborately explained about how the situation of the kingdom, and he begins to glorify Sri Vishwamitra Muni and express his deepest joy from his heart that it seems by your coming, my dear Vishwamitra Muni, it seems I have attained Amrit, the nectar. It seems as if the joy one receives after having rainfall, after years of drought, the farmer receives rain after years of drought, such immense happiness that person gets. Or his own personal example he gives, a fatherless person gets the blessing and receives a son after many years. The pleasure that a person gets, it's the same pleasure I am getting, my dear Dashrath Vishwamitra Muni. This such a blessed that you have come here. We are very, very grateful to you. I'm sure, Vishwamitra Ji, you have come. There must be a purpose. Personalities like you do not leave your hermitages and the forests where you perform your sadhana, bhajan, and sacrifice for the welfare of all beings. So you have come to us. Must be some service. So how may we serve you? So that is the mood of receiving a great Sinti personality. How may we serve you? And Vishwamitra was greatly pleased and by his words, kind words and reception that he was given. And then he thanked Dashrath Maharaj and told him that I have come to ask, definitely, as you have said, I have come to ask. But I just want to remind you, in presence of your spiritual mentor, Sri Vishishtaji, and that it's the custom in your kul that once you promise something, you do not go back on it. So therefore, I'm just going to ask for you something. And I have heard Vishwamitra said that anyone who comes to Ayodhya does not go empty-handed. So therefore, I have come with great hope to you and offer my proposal to you. So Dashrath Maharaj greatly glorified him. It's easy to glorify someone receive, welcome him. But actually, it requires a man of substance to stand by the words. It's not easy. Therefore, it's always better, as they say, to, what is that, promise less and perform better. That way you get respect. But if you promise more and underperform, people lose respect for you. But here we see the Shrut Maharaj, as it is known, Ragukula Reet Sadacharyai, Pran Jai Par Vachananatai. Of course, herein for Dashrath Maharaj, he had made a couple of promises in the past. He made a promise to Jatayu when he met him. They were good friends, but he did not fulfill that promise. He had made a promise to Kaikeyi that boon was also pending. So Dashrath Maharaj is in a habit. He would make some promise, but then he was thinking he would get away with that, even if it does not fulfill. So sometimes it happens. We make a lie to some person, we get away with it, nobody comes to know, we get away with it. It's more dangerous than actually being caught, because we get into that habit. We offend a Vaishnav, no reaction, everything is good. People still respect us. Nobody even comes to know that we offended that devotee. But then we offend another. If a reaction comes immediately, in one sense, that's much better for us, that we get a jolt, we get a warning, and then we are careful next time when we are dealing. But herein, Dashrath Maharaj, again in his excitement to receive a great saintly personality, makes a promise, not sure what he's going to get into it. And so Vishwamitra Muni explains that I have been performing sacrifices in the place where I stay, in the ashram, that area. And there have been great demons who have been obstructing those sacrifices. So I have come here to ask your son, Lord Ram, to come with me. And as soon as Dashrath Maharaj heard those words, it was like a thunderbolt on his head. He just couldn't believe what he heard. He was completely devastated. He was almost breathless. He was about to faint. Probably the oxygen levels, if they had that oximeter in the assembly, would have gone below 90 or something. He was almost breathless, choking up, Dashrath Maharaj. And all the ministers had to gather him and make him stand. So he did. Seeing this, Vishwamitra Muni explained that this is the reason why he has come. So Dashrath Maharaj was thinking how to counter his arguments, understand his needs, what is he actually looking for. And he suggested that what are you looking for is safety from the demons. So I'll come personally with my own army and I will protect you and all your sacrifices. Your need is your protection from the sacrifice. Why do you need Lord Ram? I'll personally come there to assist you. Of course, Vishwamitra Muni was absolutely not ready for this. So this is a classic place of conflict where two people are both seeing the reality from their own perspectives. Vishwamitra was convinced that Lord Ram is absolutely capable of destroying things. And Dashrath was seeing Lord Ram as his own little son, the heir to the throne, a priceless jewel which needs to protection. So that's the same Ram Vishwamitra is seeing in a different light. Lord Dashrath is seeing in a different light. And Dashrath was pierced by a spear, he had no words to speak. And he was completely confused what to do. So he comes up with different arguments. So the first argument he offers was, well, I'll just come personally with all my armies. Vishwamitra Muni was quick to refute, you don't know who Ram is. I know who Ram is. He is, you have no idea who Ram is. He, what kind of power he has. Even Vashishtha and all the other sages who are assembled, they know who Ram is. You can ask them. And Vishwamitra Muni was reprimanding. He was angry. He was saying, you don't know who Ram is. And Dashrath Maharaj's mind was filled with questions. How could Vishwamitra know about Ram? I have raised him from his childhood, from the day he was drinking milk until now. I have raised him personally. I have seen every moment of him growing. And this sage comes from Siddha Ashram, far in the forest, never, not even seen Ram. And he is saying, I know Ram. I know Ram is capable of doing this. How do you know all this? This was Dashrath's thought process. But Vishwamitra Muni was continuing to justify his demand. He was saying, my dear Dashrath, I am seeing Ram from the eyes of knowledge and devotion, and you are seeing the same Ram through the eyes of love and attachment. So there is a flaw in your vision. Ram is the object of my devotion, adoration.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. You are muted.
Hare Krishna, am I audible?
Yes, now you are, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, so Dashrath Maharaj was pleading with Vishwamitra to exempt his son. He did say that, actually, as for the Kshatriya code, for unless it's an emergency for a battle also, the minimum age is 16. And herein, Ram, he is 12. So he is, as for the Kshatriya code or battle code of conduct, he's not even eligible. And another point is, Dashrath Maharaj addresses Ram as Rajiv Lochan, the one who is lotus eye. Dashrath Maharaj meaning that Lord Ram has lotus eyes, that means like a lotus blooms when there is sun, but at the sunset, the lotus unfolds itself. So that means he's saying, my dear Vishwamitra, please try to understand, he is Rajiv Lochan, his eyes closes as soon as sunset happens. But all these demonic personalities you're talking about, from whom you need protection, are primarily called Nishachar, or at that time, those were the people who would move around, Nishachar, referring to Nisha means night and Char means who walks. So these are the people who are most active at night time. And Lord Ram is Rajiv Lochan. His eyes close as soon as sun sets. So how will a bit of any use to you? And Vishwamitra is explaining that, my dear Dashrath, Rajiv Lochan, that means to bloom as soon as the sun rises. That means as soon as Lord Ram appears, Lord Ram manifests, the sun comes, enlightenment happens, and all the evil forces dispel. So as soon as the son of Lord Ram will appear in the forest, all the evil forces will dissipate. So both are seeing Rajiv Lochan from their own eyes. Vishwamitra is saying, you are seeing from the high throne as Ram, as a small child, and I, at the lotus feet of the Lord, is seeing the prowess of Ram. You can ask the sages assembled in your court. You can ask Vashishthaji. And Vishwamitraji insisted. So Dashrath Maharaj is trying his best, offering different arguments for Vishwamitraji's counter-argument. And finally, Dashrath Maharaj breaks down, actually catches his feet and please, okay, Lord Ram will come, then I'll come with all the armies. But Lord Vishwamitra was insisting, that's my goal, that's my mission. Only Ram or Lakshman can come with me. And he was imploring and pleading again and again. Vishwamitra was aware of the deep attachment with Ram, which was obvious, but he didn't agree to his proposal. Dashrath Maharaj saying, okay, at least tell me who are the people we have to fight. And then Vishwamitra explained that two of the primary demons which we are looking at who are troubling are Marich and Subahu, the son of Sund and Tatak. So these are the four people, so Tatak, and of course Sunda is already gone. Marich, Subahu and Tataka, and they're described, Vishwamitra elaborately describes their prowess, and they have the boon of Brahmaji, and of course Dashrath being the king, monarch, he knew all these names. They have to be updated on who is carrying powers, and so Dashrath Maharaj being the king, he was updated about the powers of Sund and Marich and Subahu, so Dashrath Maharaj was trying again and again, still pleading that you are the mentor of Ikshvaku Kul, you are our mentor, so it is your responsibility to protect the future of our dynasty, so please just see what is the best we can do here in this situation. So that's how sometimes it happens in our lives when we are approaching some great sadhus or spiritual masters with certain preconceived notions of what is best for me, best for our lineage. We go up expecting certain solution in a certain way. And we want our mentors to speak those words. We try our best to put our proposals through their mouth and get satisfied. That, oh, it's been approved by mentors, my mentor. Dashrath Maharaj is imploring different ways, but Vishwamitra Muni was getting more and more angry hearing these words of his patience was being tested, and he could not tolerate. Eyes were burning like charcoal at that point of time, and he was as if he's going to burn everything. The Vishwamitra Muni jeered loudly, and the mocking laughter which he made seemed to mimic the cry of death, and he was about to leave. At that point, Dashrath hung his face in shame. But Vishwamitra Muni, while crying loudly, he looked at Vishishtha Muni. And it's an elaborate discussion on how the interaction between Vishishtha and Vishwamitra they had. Great, powerful rivalry, and then they reconcile later on. But then again, now Vishwamitra Muni is reminding here that my dear Vashishtha, try to explain Ram, what is he heading towards? And so that was the discussion they had. And then Vashishtha Muni finally knew that this is the time to enter the conflict. Till then, Vishwamitra Muni was quite. He was listening to both arguments. And this is the time Vishishtha Muni enters in, asks permission from Maharaj Dashrath and Vashishtha. It's a classic conflict resolution which Vishishtha Muni does. First qualification, he was well respected by Vishwamitra and Dashrath Maharaj, and took permission, sought for intervention, argue both ready that I can intervene in this, the log which has happened between the two of you. So Vishwamitra Muni actually reminded Dashrath Maharaj that, my dear Dashrath Maharaj, you are coming from Ikshvaku Kul. So see your dynasty. And ideal kings like Raghu have never faltered from their promises. So you're coming from that Kul. So please bear in mind that. And also, you have attained universal fame and respect when you did the Ashwamedh Yajna. And now, by refuting charity to this Brahmana, you're going to get a lot of wrath and ill fame. So please keep these two things in mind. And also, it is the time has come for Lord Ram to move on his glorious future. Like we have, the parents have concern for their children, but sometimes that love and attachment can inhibit the growth or the future of their child. So here in Vasishthaji is explaining the Shrut Maharaj that it's now time for Lord Ram to grow, explore, let him explore. And he will learn a lot of things from Vishwamitra, from his wisdom, from his knowledge, and from all the saintly personalities he will meet. And so please be a reflective father and not an impulsive one, and be attached. And because of your attachment, don't hamper the growth of your son. Vishwamitra is very wonderfully explaining. And then he assured Dashrath Maharaj that Vishwamitra was not ordinary person. I have seen his prowesses. And he explains. And he has done austerities for many, many years. And his intellect, his power, his strength is well known. And he's capable to actually take care of all the demons, what he's talking about, Marich and Subahu himself. But he has a purpose in mind, a higher purpose in mind to take Lord Ram. So please, all your very lovingly, very assuringly, Vasishtha Muni addresses the concerns which Dashrath Maharaj had. And Vishwamitra Muni possesses, he of course explains how much prowess he had. And he explains some of the prowesses which he had, the missiles which are there with Vishwamitra Muni, and thus convinced that Ram was safer with Vishwamitra Muni than actually in Ayodhya. That much prowess he had. And finally, Dashrath understood, comprehended the wisdom in Vishwamitra's plea, and he extremely felt repentant about how he arrogantly behaved. He begged forgiveness, and he could now be very clearly and objectively see the situation. Sometimes when we are a party of the situation, we need a mentor, we need a person from outside who is not party to the situation to help us come out of that. So herein Dashrath Maharaj is quite bound up. And then herein, and convinced by Vasishtha's suggestion, went in to get Ram. Ram's mother Kaushalya came. They both blessed him, wished him a safe journey. Dashrath Maharaj kissed him on his forehead, handed Ram to Vishwamitra. Of course, without saying, goes along with Ram is always Sri Lakshmana. They were two inseparable. At the time when even they were born, Lakshman and Ram, Bharat, Shatrughan, all were crying actually. Until somebody put Lakshman in the cradle of Ram, Shatrughan in the cradle of Bharat. That was the exhibition of their divine love. That was Sri Lakshmanji. And Dashrath actually told Vishwamitra that he is handing over his two boys, and from now on till the time they are with you, you are his mother and you are his father. Please take care of him very, very nicely. And Dashrath Maharaj wanted to just make sure that Vishwamitra Muni understands that his parents are not there, so he has to take care of them. And the two boys, they were wearing wonderful, beautiful royal clothes with swords were strapped on their waist belts. They had two quivers on their both their shoulders and a bow. And all the citizens of the Ayodhya came to take one glass glimpse of their beloved Sri, Shram and Lakshman, showered flowers on them, best wishes, musical instruments which played, an auspicious atmosphere. And in this way, Vishwamitra Muni walks with Sri Ram and Lakshman Dashrath Maharaj, gazing, staring into the horizon long after his eyes could no longer see Sri Ram, Lakshman, and Sri Krishna Mitrumuni. So that's what life is. And the Ram, Lakshman are walking behind Sri Krishna Mitrumuni. Interesting, in the whole episode, this is such a wonderful, loving relationship between Sri Ram and Dashrath Maharaj. Dashrath never even thought of asking Ram. There was no question. That was such love and trust between the two of them. Dashrath was confident. If I say, Ram will go. And Ram, it's not that Ram said, hey, you never asked me. You both are fighting, but nobody even consulted me whether I am willing to go or not. That is Ram's love for his father. That is Dashrath's trust, which he is, over the years of love, he has invested such a loving relationship. That there was no question in Dashrath's mind that I should actually even ask Ram about the whole thing. And so they were walking and entered the forest. And this was the first time probably Ram and Lakshman were walking inside the forest. And Vishwamitra Muni was describing everything on the way. Whatever city would come, town would come, mountains would come, the different rivers they crossed. Vishwamitra Muni was going on narrating different stories of valor, of different kings, and other different interesting stories to just keep the boys engaged and make them feel happy. And then they came, after walking, they came on the southern bank of the Saroyu. At this point, Vishwamitra Muni was overcome with motherly compassion on seeing the tired faces of Ram and Lakshman. And he decided that he would give them initiation into two divine mantras, the two potent mantras, Bal and Atipal. Brahmaji had given those to Vishwamitraji. Vishwamitraji asked for Ram that please go and take in the holy Sarayu and accept these mantras from me. So Lord Ram took to the river away, followed the instructions of his guru, and then received those initiations in these two mantras. Vishwamitra Muni explained to Ram that these mantras were actually extremely powerful, very powerful. So this is the briefing is going. And that one who possesses those mantras would never experience fatigue or fever. Maybe somebody should do a research to find out those two mantras could serve the society at this point of time, which the struggle which we are all facing, fatigue, fever, breathlessness. Bal and Atibal, Vishwamitra Muni is saying, would be immune. So these are some of the qualities of no fatigue, no fever, I'm sure no oxygen reduction also. Would be immune from attacks from demons, whether awake or sleep. Would be unmatched in dexterity and strength. Unparalleled in beauty, caliber, scholarship. Resourceful, would never experience hunger or thirst. Would become famous and radiant. Lord Ram, absolute determination, dedication and focus, learn those mantras, master the two mantras, became more lustrous, luminous like the sun, and with deep gratitude offered his respects to his teacher who imparted his mantras, and with great vigor, eager to serve Vishwamitra Muni more than ever with more renewed energy. Of course, all these mantras are coming from Ram. Vishwamitra Muni actually giving back what he has received. Interestingly, Vishwamitra Muni did not give these mantras to Lakshmanji, because that was not the mood. Vishwamitra knew Ji knew that this is not the mood of Sri Lakshman. He always wanted to serve, be subservient to Sri Ram. He didn't want Ram and Lakshman that now they are both god brothers, both got the mantras from Vishwamitra. So that was not the mood of Lakshman. He always wanted to serve. Another great personality, Sri Lakshmanji, always wanted to serve Sri Ram. 14 years, no sleeping, constantly 24 hours, 7 days, 365 days, 14 years, absolute absorption, only serving Sri Ram. That is Sri Lakshmanji. And Lord Ram actually gave those mantras finally to Lakshmanji, and he also received. I just remembering one little pastime from Sri Lakshmanji's dedication to Sri Ram. So that was, of course, we'll come back to this. We'll complete the journey and I will speak at the end about one little story of Sri Lakshmanji, that at the end. I don't want to stop here. We'll continue with the journey. And so Vishwamitra Muni was, so this is the first night now is coming. And Ram Lakshman would sleep in the royal palaces. And it's the first time night they're out on the fields. That's where we have to sleep, on the grass carpet on the banks of Mother Sarayu. And but they were so well trained by their spiritual masters, by their gurus there. And Vishwamitra Muni was telling different stories to comfort the two boys. And very, Valmiki Muni describes, probably it was for the first time Vishwamitra Muni, previously the king and now a sage, had spoken with such softly and sweetly with these two children. Probably the first time he was speaking under the starlit sky on the banks of Sri Sariyu Mother River, and hearing these the stories from Vishwamitra Muni, Lord Ram and Lakshman entered the sleep. And then, long before the sun rays, Vishwamitra Muni woke up for his morning oblations. And once he was through with his rituals, he went over to wake up the sleeping boys. This is such a beautifully described by Sri Valmiki Muni. As Vishwamitra Muni, after his morning oblations, he comes and he was completely mesmerized to see the beauty of Ram and Sri Lakshman sleeping on the green carpet, grass carpet bed on the banks of Mother Sariyu. It was like two little angels sleeping on the green velvety mattress, and this Vishwamitra Muni, who was Bhishma Tapasvi, was overwhelmed with the surge of emotions and experienced that even thousands of years of austerities and sacrifices could have never given him. That is the power of devotion and bhakti. Thousands of years of tapasya, which Vishwamitra Muni could not. A little service, personal service to Sri Ram, Sri Lakshman, serving them on his journey, gave him such deep, transcendental, devotional experience. And he understood that the path of devotion, at this point of time, Vishwamitra Muni was convinced that the path of devotion and surrender was much superior to the path of austerities and self-denial. This was his realization at that point. And with deep emotion, and as he was observing these two little angels sleeping, he was wondering, remembering the great fortune of Mother Kaushalya. How fortunate is she that she's seeing this sight every morning when she goes to wake up Sri Ram, Sri Lakshmi. In his mind, actually, he began to worship her. And at that point, to wake up the two little angels, Vishwamitra Muni composed a beautiful verse which says, very famous words, Kaushalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishta Narushartul Kartavya Devim Anakam. Kaushalya Supraja Rama. How fortunate is Kaushalya who has begotten you as her son. Kaushalya Supraja Rama. The sun has risen in the east. Purva Sandhya Parvartate. The sun has risen in the east. Now, you, my dear Lord, who is Uttisht Nar Sharadul, tiger among the men, Kartavyam Devim Anakam. Please arise and perform those duties that are considered divine. So this is the beautiful prayers, and the commentators explain. And immediately after doing those his oblations, as soon as he came there, actually much before sunrise, Vishwamitra Muni came, and he was reciting these prayers. And he just couldn't complete it. He was just meditating on Mother Kaushalya and worshipping her in his mind. And he was just reciting Kaushalya, 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 Kaushalya. And when the sun rose, then he completed this verse. Till then, he was just chanting Kaushalya, Kaushalya, remembering her good fortune, worshipping her in his mind. He was just chanting the names of Mother Kaushalya. And then later he completed Kaushalya Supraja Rama. So it was a beautiful thing. And then Lord Ram and performed their morning duties. And then finally they continued their journey. After reaching further, they come at the confluence of Sarayu and Mother Ganga. There was a beautiful hermitage there. And they inquired from Vishwamitra Muni about the hermitage. And of course, Lord Ram is all-knowing, but Vishwamitra Muni, they were inquiring from very humbly, setting up an example how this disciple should inquire. And Vishwamitra Muni, as service, was explaining about these different details and how he explained that this was the chosen spot, which hermitage you are seeing, was actually Lord Shiva's kutya, where he would meditate. And at one point, our Kamdev, Cupid, Kandarp, came here, god of love, and he wanted to influence Lord Shiva to prove his greatness. Of course, who can disturb Lord Shiva? So Lord Shiva angered, opened his third eye, burnt into ashes there. And therefore, this place which we are seeing, Lord Ram, this is Vishwamitra telling Lord Ram, is Anga province, because there was no body to Kamadev here. And of course, they spent the night there. Everyone, all the sadhus were there. They greeted him very nicely. And then, of course, we have a few minutes, so I will fast forward the narration, because I don't want to keep us in the forest till tomorrow. So we will move a little forward. Many other things comes. There is a forest which is very difficult forest with wild animals. They had to pass through that. Then they had to cross over the barren lands. And of course, Vishwamitra Muni explains all these things in detail. And Then they came to a place to fight with Tataka. That's the first demoness. So Vishwamitra knew that this is the area where Tataka is going to be there in this forest. So Lord Ram, Vishwamitra Muni wanted to prepare him, and he realized that Lord Ram might have a dilemma because Tataka, being a woman, incidentally, Krishna Leela also, first demon Krishna had to kill was Putana, another lady. So herein, and Lord Ram, who was such a trained that he could not even imagine speaking harsh words or even glaring to a woman or even what to think of piercing one with arrows. So Vishwamitra knew about the training, well-trained Ram. So he was trying to explain to her that this is not a woman kind what you know of. This is a demon. And Vishwamitra reminded that this is your responsibility. You have come. Your father has sent me to assist me, and this is your first mission. And as a king, as a descendant of Ikshvaku, it is your duty to protect the society, and sacrifice is expected from a king. And as to protect the sacrifice and the citizens, you have to do this. And Tataka is not a woman that should be. And of course, Vishwamitra Muni, what he was speaking, he explained logically. And then, of course, he told how Lord Vishnu had to kill sometime a lady about, I think, Sumati was killed, Indra had killed, and Khyati was killed by Vishnu. So like that, many historical references, Vishwamitra Muni reminded that this is his duty. And then Lord Ram contemplated the words of his teacher, also reminded of his father's instructions to follow Vishwamitra, keeping both in mind. He contemplated, deliberated, and he was ready. And he held his bow and ready. And as soon as he pulled back the string, the twang of the bow was so powerful, resounding, that the entire forest shook. At the far end of the forest, in a cave, was Tataka, who was relaxing there. She heard the reverberating twang. She was like furious. How come? Who is that sound? Which is that sound? She wanted to kill the one who has caused such torment to her and who has created the sound. So she came running towards Rakshman. And her ghastly, monstrous features, her shoulders were very strong, described like the Mandar mountain. Her feet were so huge and heavy that as she was walking, the footprints were so heavy and powerful, they were big, that there were lakes that big. The lake sort of things were being formed as she was. Lord Ram, when he saw this, Lord Ram could understand this is not a woman what he was thinking about. And she was, what was her decoration? Krishna Leela also, Putana, Shukadeva Goswami elaborately describes the form of Putana here in Valmiki Muni also. She was wearing golden anklets, earrings, interesting earrings, elephant head studded earrings. People have diamond studded, gold studded, or platinum studded. This is elephant head studded earrings and a garland. This is interesting garland which Tataka had. Blood oozing elephant strung tail to neck. So that was the garland which were elephants were there instead of marigolds or roses or jasmines or kadamba flowers garland. Elephant garland with pierced from tail to trunk. And her teeth were like the trident of Yamaraj. And the sight of such a ghastly being made Ram realize that this is not the lady what they were worshipable or respectful. And Lord Ram stood still, aiming at an arrow at her. But suddenly he was overwhelmed with compassion. Still, she's a lady. Lord Ram's training is compassion. And instead of killing her, Lord Ram was thinking, let me just rid of her impudence. As Lord Ram was pondering over it, Sataka went wild. That gave her some time. Lord Ram was thinking how to not kill her and kill her impudence. Sataka went wild. She hurled a storm of stones toward brothers. And Lord Ram, while evading the stones, swiftly released arrows that chopped off her arms. And Lakshman's arrows chopped off her nose and ears. Lakshman, he was expert in chopping nose and ears. Later on, Shurpanakha also. That's Lord Ram's arrow chopped off her arms. Lakshman's arrow struck off her nose and ears. And Tatka realized she was nearing defeat. So she swirled up dust, disappeared, and tried to trick Ram and Lakshman by pelting stone at them from all different directions simultaneously. So she disappeared from vision, and stones were being pelted from different directions. So Lord Ram and Lakshman could not figure out where the attack is coming from. It's all around. And Vishwamitra Muni realized that this needs urgent addressal. So he knew that there is slight compassion which Lord Ram has to be addressed. And he came to Lord Ram and told him that the misplaced compassion what you have is actually misplaced. She's no innocent woman. She's a sinister evil which needs to be destroyed. And told Ram that the sun is about to set and her powers would multiply. Nishacha, their powers would multiply. And after that, it's going to be more difficult. So now is the time that Ram realized that Vishwamitra was right. His compassion was coming on the way of a larger cause. Tataka was still invisible, hurling stones from different directions. She laughed out loud at Lord Ram's flight. That's the mistake she did. She laughed out loudly. Lord Ram realized where she is, threw an arrow towards the source of the sound. The arrow was as effective and just pierced through her heart, tore out her back, flew out into the sky. Jai Shri Ram Chandra Bhagavan ki Jai. So Tatka was dead in an instant. Her monstrous dismembered body on the ground. The demigods showered flowers when they saw this. Actually, Lord Ram went to Vishwamitra Muni and begged forgiveness. My dear Gurudev, I'm sorry. Momentarily, I disregarded your instructions. I was thinking my compassion was coming on my way. And so please forgive me. I'm an offender. I could not immediately follow your instructions. Vishwamitra Muni, when he heard these words, was thoroughly impressed with Ram's sincerity in admitting his faults and begging forgiveness. That was his greatness. He could have rejoiced that I have killed it. But Lord Ram came that I was thinking how to follow your instructions. I beg forgiveness. And he was also impressed with Vishwamitra Muni that this personality is independently thoughtful. That's very important for a leadership to have this quality. And so he was very, very happy. At that time, Indra came to Vishwamitra Muni and told Vishwamitra Muni that you should give the rest of the missiles, whatever you have, from Lord Shiva, from Brahmaji, from me, all those divine weapons which you have. Lord Ram deserves it. He has proven up by his conduct. He's independently thoughtful, very respectful, very humble. When he is a slight mistake, or not a mistake, slight thought of not following that instruction, he is ready to repent, he's ready to beg forgiveness. These are the qualities which are there, humility. Therefore, Ram is qualified. He has proved his credibility. here. So please, in all the forest, everyone was very joyful. Like a beautiful festival was there. And Vishwamitra Muni kissed Ram on his forehead. And a beautiful festival ensued there. So that was such a beautiful. And then, of course, Vishwamitra Muni gave Lord Ram different types of wheel, chakras that punishes, that controls time, that establishes virtue, a chakra of Lord Vishnu, gave thunderbolt of Indra, the trident missiles, the Brahma, Shirsha from Brahma. So like that, the different pashas, Kal Pash, Varun Pash, Dharma Pash. So all these weapons actually appeared in front of Ram in person. Requested that, my dear Lord, please use them at your own will. Whenever you need them, Lord Ram accepted them, thanked them, and bowed to Vishwamitra Muni in gratitude. So I think my time is up. I'm very grateful to all of you for joining us with me on this journey from Ayodhya to Siddh Ashram. Of course, we haven't covered. Maybe tomorrow or some other time we can continue our journey to Siddh Ashram, which was a very special place. Time from the time of Bali Maharaj, the place was there. Vamandev had come there and Vishwamitra Muni had made his hermitage there. So that's where Marich and Subahu came, and Lord Ram personally delivered both of them in their unique ways. So on this auspicious eve of Ramanami, we all can offer our gratitude, our prayers to the all-merciful Lord Sri Ram to give his shower, his choicest blessings upon each one of us, that we can serve him and our spiritual masters in a most humble and diligent way, as he himself exemplified in his journey, serving Sri Vishwamitra Muni with great humility, with great diligence. So I thank all of you for your presence and seek your blessings in prayers. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class and the very inspiring. And also, you also guided us how to pray for Lord Ram on this auspicious day also. Thank you so much for this, Prabhuji. You are really indebted for your position today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Devotees, if you have any questions, you can ask now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Oh, Deepika Mataji has raised hand.
Yes. You can go.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, thank you for all your lectures in Radha Gopinath Mandir. Really nice to hear you again. Okay, Prabhuji, we know there are innumerable qualities in Lord Sri Ram. And what are the main qualities would Mother Sita look out in Lord Sri Ram?
Hmm. At a time when I do not remember the details, but then during the time when the marriage ceremony was happening after the Siddha Ashram, with the episode we discussed, after Lord Ram defeated Marich and killed Subahu, all the Vishwamitra Muni and all the sages took Lord Ram to Mithila, and where Lord Ram effortlessly tied this boat and broke the boat, Shiva Dhanush, Shiva Chaam, and the Swayamvar was ensured after that, right after that. And at that time, Janak Maharaj, who had been waiting long time for anyone eligible, qualified person to come, and finally this thing happened that they broke the bow, and so that's when Janak Maharaj, so elated and happy, and he came to Lord Ram and he said, "My dear Ram, so now please marry Mother Sita." So that what Lord Ram speaks that time was captivating. Of course, it pierced the heart of Janak Maharaj. But Mother Janaki, Mother Sita, was so pleased to hear this word. Lord Ram said, "I had come on the instructions of my father to assist Vishwamitra ji in the sacrifice. I did that. And then after that, the sages, I made friends with them, and they told me to come to see the Shiv Dhanush. I came to see the Shiv Dhanush, and I just tried to spring it, and I broke it. I didn't know anything about this marriage thing at all. Nobody told me. I just came here, I did this, and so I have to consult my father, and of course, before that, Lord Ram had met Mother Sita, not met, they had seen each other, their eyes had met, and since the time they met, the day they arrived in Mithila, the first day they met each other, they saw each other from the balcony, and their eyes, and they were just constantly remembering each other. They could not. And so Mother Sita knew that he is the man whom I'm just meditating on, thinking about. And she saw the valor and the prowess of Ram, because Janaki ji, Mother Sita, had seen so many people had come, but they just could not do it. And this was a person who was powerful. At the same time, Mother Sita was remembering when Lord Ram says, and she knew that Lord Ram is attracted to her, thinking about her. So Mother Sita was so happy when Lord Ram said that I need to consult. So she was so happy that he's so powerful, so great valor he has. At the same time, he has respect for his elders. Same time, he has self-control. So all those things impressed Mother Sita at that time. So that was one episode which I remembered from your question. Of course, there are many, many qualities, definitely, which must attract Mother Sita. But this is what I remembered now. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Anything else? Otherwise, we will seek your blessings. Thank you all very much for allowing me to
speak. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danda Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class and very nice nectarian narration of the Ram Katha. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your time and association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Nectarian
Hare Katha, Ram Katha. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.